Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome, everybody. We are live 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time here on the 13th day of July, 2016. You are tuned into the Perspective Power Radio Network. We're Team Gratitude. That would be me, Annette Rochelle Aben, and award-winning artist David A. Martinko. Find David at redbellymusic.com and sunshadows.net. He's got tremendously wonderful music. You can get free downloads, find his CDs for purchase, and I know he's got a new CD in the works, so you definitely want to check that out, redbellymusic.com. Get that new CD as soon as it comes out, because it's going to be great. You know what? I'm so happy you're here. I appreciate you so much. I truly, truly do. And the only way that I can explain to you how that energy works for me is to talk about nurturing the attitude of gratitude. That's our focus today, nurture the attitude of gratitude. When you feel good about something, when you're happy with it, when you're really connected, there's a sense of peace that comes over us. And a lot of people look at what goes on in the world and they become disenchanted. And that disenchantment takes many forms, depending on the individual and depending on the individual's need for support in that disenchantment. That disenchantment can become the opposite of gratitude. Their attitude can become one of totally and thoroughly unhappy. When you connect with a lot of people who support that same attitude, what grows is an ever larger energy of unhappiness. Unhappiness is what sets up people to do things that we see occurring and we say, whoa, that is something that makes us unhappy. And while nobody can look at things in the world that are unpleasant and laugh and point and say, oh, wow, that's really amazing, and feel this joviality regarding it, the energy is what it is, and the only way to grow energy that we would rather have, energy of peace and togetherness, harmony, love, unity, acceptance, happiness, is to place our focus on that energy. To kind of put it in terms that we might remember from our youth, or if we're a little older than when these particular set of books came out, how we related with these books to children, maybe children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, neighbors. And those are the Dr. Seuss books. Dr. Seuss wrote a book called How the Grinch Stole Christmas. It was made into a huge movie, cartoon movie, and everybody that has ever seen it remembers, you know, you're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. There was a song, and little Cindy Lou who in spite of all of her challenges, in spite of living under, you know, Grinch rule, Grinchdom for Christmas, because he came in to steal Christmas from everybody. When they gathered in that circle at the end and they sang their song about Welcome Christmas, and the Grinch realized Christmas wasn't about the bells and the whistles, it was about the energy, the love, and the attitude. And, of course, his heart grew and everything got better. That simplistic story that I sort of rushed through the ending of is the perfect example of what I'm talking about. The perfect example. They could have gotten a lynch mob together to go out and get that Grinch. That Grinch broke the law. He stole their stuff. He stole their Christmas. And he intended to do it. It wasn't, here's a funny thing, it wasn't like he just sort of happened upon something and said, oh, you know, that looks pretty good, I think I'll take that. Heck no, that was not a spontaneous crime. He planned it. He plotted it. Now, could that story have gone, pardon me, vastly different had the Whos decided to fight him? It wouldn't have been the same story. And I sincerely doubt that Seuss would have written such a story. Because every single thing in Dr. Seuss's books, Theodore Geisel's books, was about choose that attitude. What attitude are you going to have? Are you grateful for what you got? Are you allowing unity and harmony to prevail? Are you taking responsibility for the fact that it is yours to deal with? Like the cat in the hat. You had to take some personal responsibility for what you chose to do to wreck the house for your mother come home and caught you. Like, yes, you could choose to do this, but it's going to lead to these consequences. The books were filled with our ability to choose. And in every single one of the books, the message that was driven home was if we choose the attitude that fosters the happiness, it's what wins. It's what prevails. But it always came back to our choice and our necessity and ability to nurture the attitude that we wanted to see grow bigger. Because there's a lot of movement from a lot of people, and we really think we're doing something wonderful because we're honoring the dead, we're catching the monster, and we're punishing, we're bringing them to justice. If you look back at history, war never won a war. Hate never got anybody anywhere. It never did. It just generated a whole other group of people that turned around and hated them. And pretty soon, it was, I hate you because they told me to. Not, I hate you because of whatever. In other words, it didn't even become our own energy anymore. We were simply part of the bandwagon. We were simply part of the group. Back in the 90s, there was a study done in Washington, D.C., which at the time was listed as the murder capital of the world, where thousands of people came together simply to meditate on peace. That was their goal. And I say thousands, I think it was like 4,000 people. You can look it up online, the Washington, D.C. Peace Meditation, because there's just an entire Google page of it, so you'll find it. And they said to the authorities in that area, we believe that with these efforts of meditating on peace for the length of time that they did and the amount of people that they had, that we can reduce violent crime by X amount of percent. And, of course, they were laughed at by a lot of people, including the police and other authorities. By the end of the study, the police actually became collaborators in this effort because, in fact, violent crime was decreased by more than 20% in Washington, D.C. at that time. And the energy lingered, actually, which was kind of strange. Not strange, but I mean to them it was strange. The idea is they nurtured an attitude of gratitude. They nurtured peace, which is part of gratitude. And they didn't try to change anybody else's mind. They didn't go out and protest and say, now you've got to do it our way because our way is right. They simply took responsibility for their own energy and owned it, because to meditate is to fill yourself with energy. And you can meditate on a lot of people meditate on how they're going to win what they're going to a football game, how they're going to pass a test, how they're going to get a job, fill in the blank. When you concentrate on something so much that it becomes part of you, that in a way is meditation. But if you study meditation or look into meditation, the idea is to allow yourself to become one with the energy. At least that's the way it was presented to me back in the 90s when I started working with meditation. And I have to say, it took me three years before I felt the connection. And I worked at this a lot. I didn't work at it as much as some people do. I didn't work at it as little as others. But I put the effort and energy into it, waiting for this epiphany to hit. And one day when the connection came together, It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And I thought to myself, this was it. This is what I was waiting for. And it wasn't like a huge rainbow appeared in the sky and unicorns flew out and greeted me everywhere I went. I thought that would have been kind of cool if you think about it. But what happened inside of me was I realized, number one, what a great feeling it was to feel grateful, to embrace peace, to nurture the energy of happiness. The other thing that I realized was that I could do it. Oh, whoa. Amazing. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Now, you figure, that was back in the 90s. That was quite a while ago. And if I started this practice in 92, the very end of 92, which I did, and it took about 3 years, it was like maybe the end of 1995 before I finally realized it. So it's been 20 years, right? 20 and a half, if you think of we're in the fact that we're in July of 2016 right now is you're listening to this live broadcast today. However, here's the really cool thing. What I have noticed over those 2 decades, since I felt it first and I got it, it was great, is that I can apply that to anything and get that feeling again. I can apply that to almost every aspect of my life. And I say almost every aspect because I don't know that I've applied it to every aspect of my life yet. But those that I have, I can feel that energy. And I know that even when things that are beyond my control, I got word yesterday that a 40-year-old cousin of mine in the Houston area of Texas was dead. I don't have any details, none. But I can tell you this, we just lost his father 8 months ago. His mother was murdered in the area where they lived 10 years ago. And the feeling of helplessness was overwhelming. And it literally paralyzed me from getting things done. I had to sit with my grief. I had to sit with my sorrow. I had to sit with my frustration. I had to sit with my confusion, my sadness, my hurt. All those feelings still come up, guys. You may know how to nurture an attitude of gratitude, and you may get this, and you may think you're never going to feel these things again. You're never going to have the contrast to the gratitude. That's not true. Of course you will. Of course you will. That's part of who we are. The up, the down, the back, the forth, the inside, the out. And what brought me through it was connecting privately with some of the cousins, because I was asked to. The young man's aunt and uncle asked me, would you please reach out to the rest of the family? We can't possibly talk to them all right now. We have a large family. So I did. And as I started to hear back from some of the family members, we grieved together. We came together and held each other close in our hearts. And then we started to move through it. We started to be grateful that we were there for each other. We started to be grateful for the fact that we had other family members and friends around us that we could go to and talk to. We started to be grateful for the fact that we were still breathing, that we had this day. And hours go by, but if you kept, as many of us did, nurturing the energy of gratitude, what ended up happening was we got ourselves back to a place of stable, and we were actually able, at least I was, I'll speak for myself because I didn't speak with everybody else on this, but I was actually able to go into prayer and send prayers of peace to my cousin Eric and wish him well on his new journey. By the time I went to bed at night, the sadness and shock and confusion that had been part of my life earlier in the day had turned to gratitude. Gratitude for things that I needed to be grateful for, gratitude for things that I chose to be grateful for. But by nurturing the attitude of gratitude, I was able to come to a new place that regardless of what the future brings, I know that attitude of gratitude and I are together. Wherever you are today, whatever energy comes to your life, remember that you are in control of your attitude. You are in control of of how it goes. You are in control of what happens, how, what, when, where, and why, by nurturing your attitude of gratitude. We invite you to enjoy the program whenever you can, and we totally and completely welcome your presence here on the Perspective Power Radio Network.